Praise be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Today's message was taken from the Gospel of Luke, the 20th chapter. And starting in verse 27, there came to him some Sadducees who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, that man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third. And likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." Got milk? For those of you too younger to remember, it was an ad campaign in the mid-90s, late 80s. And it was a set of simple ads. Solid black background, white letters, two words printed in bold. And just as bold was the message behind it. If you didn't already have milk, you needed to acquire some. And there's no ambiguity in this statement. No hidden message, nothing. It was just a simple command. Purchase milk. That was it. And the premise of this assertion was based on an unstated but inferred fact that everyone needed milk. And it was assumed true, expected never to be false. Everyone could and should have milk. And those of you who are lactose intolerant, you still needed milk. Everyone did. Everyone must. Because the challenge to this claim was a challenge to the foundational truth that it was built upon. If you were allowed to define yourself as lactose intolerant, or if they conceded that not everybody needed milk, where would they be? They would be left questioning their identity, their entire belief system, and their truth. And the very foundation of this campaign would crumble. So they held firm. Everybody needed milk. And did you have yours? Now we may laugh at the absurdity of this argument because we know the source of truth is a campaign agency, an advertising agency, and the consequences of accepting this claim have very little impact on our lives. But what about more significant claims? What if determining the truth of some premise would impact our life or death? Even greater, what if it would impact our eternal life, eternal death? All of a sudden, we would stop laughing and focus in not only on the claim, but on its source. We would determine if it could be accepted as fact. And our final judgment would contribute to the very foundation of who we were. A truth claim of this magnitude would necessarily influence our very identity. And so it would be critical that we arrive at the proper conclusion, because failure to do so would be catastrophic. And in today's gospel passage, we're told that the Sadducees had accepted as fact certain claims. We know that they held the Torah, the law of Moses, very highly, and they believed in God. They believed in the God of Abraham, but they also believed that there would be no resurrection. God would not raise them or anyone from the dead. And this was their starting point. And that formed the very foundation of what they believed. And it even defined how they saw themselves. And it was from this position that they asked Jesus that question. In the resurrection, whose wife will the woman be? You see, it was not a question to expand their knowledge. It's not a question to challenge their thinking. There's no possibility that the response that Jesus gave might move their starting point or contribute to the correction of their fundamental beliefs. Instead, what it was a judgment in the form of a question. And they found the claims of Jesus false, and they were simply pointing out the folly of his claim for a resurrection. It would be just like me listening to you tell me a problem and then reply with, "Well, why didn't you do this?" On the surface, it sounds like I asked you a question, but I didn't. There was nothing more behind that than a statement, a judgment about what you should have done. And that's the way it was in this passage. You see, for the Sadducees, their unspoken claim about the resurrection drove to the core of what they believed. And so it carried an enormous weight in their lives. They were defined by this set of beliefs. An acknowledgement of it being false, especially this one, would redefine who they were. And it could even potentially destroy them and their position in society. And so they completely rejected that truth claim. And in rejecting that claim, they rejected all other claims that Jesus made about God and about himself. And we see the parallels in society today. Anyone with a large enough following on Twitter, or with a loud enough voice, or enough money, or the right friends, can create a religion. They can create a set of truths and expose it to a great number of people. And they can claim a truth that is based not on God's word, but on their own. And because it aligns with an ideological set of beliefs, it becomes attractive to the masses, and they conform to it and identify with it, and they become a physical manifestation of these beliefs. But if it's not based on God, it's not based on anything. And if it's not based on anything, how long can it stand against the pressures of God's truth? How quickly will it crumble, and what will be the impact to those who have built their entire identity upon its foundations? Those that find their identity in nothing will be lost and left wandering. But for us, our foundation is the truth. It's God's truth. And the proof can be found all around us. We see the consequences of sin described to us in Genesis. We see the historic evidence of a resurrected Christ. We see the grace of God being poured out to all of those who believe in him. And so we know that what he reveals to us is the truth. And what he reveals to us is that he is the truth, the way, and the life. And we simply don't build our identity upon this foundation. Instead, we are defined by Christ himself. We are in him, and he is in us. We are the temple, and he takes residence. We are more than just people who know Christ and who follow him. We are defined by and through him. This doesn't simply mean that the decisions we make are based on his claims that we hold true, but are based on claims that he has told us are true. And this truth came down from heaven and was born of the Virgin Mary. And he suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified. He died and he was buried. And he descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. And he ascended to heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he did this so that we too are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. See, over 2,000 years ago, the Sadducees had an opportunity to ask Jesus a question, to hear from the mouth of truth, and to experience everlasting life. And they wasted this opportunity, and instead, they tried to impose their truth onto him. What about us? If we were to ask Jesus a question today, what would our motive be? Would it be to expand our knowledge? To challenge our thinking? Would it be to contribute to the foundation of our beliefs? Or like the Sadducees, would it be little more than a statement to him about where our opinions about our life or about the lives around us disagree with his truth? And I would like to close us in prayer using the words from a song by Carolyn Winfrey. Let us pray. Lord Christ, you are the Savior, the way to the Father, the truth we depend on, the life that we need. We trust you believing, we listen receiving, the joy of the gospel by which we are freed. In your name we pray. Amen.